Welcome to the Talking Biotech Podcast. It's the weekly podcast about agriculture and medicine with an emphasis on biotechnology and the good things we can do for people and the planet. My name's Kevin Fulda. I'm your podcast host. And this week we're going to talk about CAR T cell therapies. And the reason this is important and why I want you to know about it is because CAR T cell therapies show tremendous promise in treating some specific diseases, namely cancers. And specific types of cancers. And as we continue to improve healthcare and maybe succumb less to mundane, disorders like heart attacks or, the flu, as that becomes less common, we'll see later onset diseases such as cancers and other types of neurodegenerative diseases becoming really penetrating issues in our families and within our friends. And so understanding the therapies and being at the forefront of being able to help explain them is something I would like you to be able to communicate. And today we're going to speak with Dr. Joe Freyetta. He's an assistant professor in the microbiology department in the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. So welcome to the podcast, Dr. Freyetta.
Thank you very much, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's really great to have you on. As I've learned more about this field, I've found your reviews particularly useful, ones that you've been a central author as well as, part of an authorship team. And you've covered a lot of ground in this area. But let's dive right in. Can you please describe to us what is CAR T cell therapy and what is a CAR T cell?
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, a CAR T cell is a breakthrough in cancer treatment. We all sort of understand that. But essentially, these are typically patient T cells that are genetically modified to express an artificial receptor that binds a protein that we call an antigen on the surface of a tumor. And that allows the T cells to kill antigen-positive cells. And so when we talk about this protein antigen, it's very specific to the tumor, or it's overexpressed by the tumor compared to normal tissue. And in this way, we could really direct T cells with virtually any specificity that we want, specificities that these cells didn't have before. And so, why is this important? Well, like cells infected with pathogens, and so bacteria and viruses, cancer cells, tumor cells, undergo changes from their normal steady state. And these sort of changes typically mark the cancer cells as target for destruction by the immune system. But many tumors have cleverly worked around this. They're a little Darwinian in a sense. That's the way that I think of it. And they can mutate and find ways to either evade or dampen the immune response to ensure their own survival. And so this is why the T cells that a person is born with can rarely do battle against cancer. And with these synthetic chimeric antigen receptors, or CARs, we're arming the T cells to do battle. That's how I would put it.
Well, this is really fascinating because you mentioned that you start with the patient's own cells. So isn't this really just the epitome of personalized medicine?
Oh, absolutely. As you said, we're using a patient's own T cells for therapy. So I would consider this to be highly personalized. In the actual process of making CAR T cells, a patient's cells are collected via a process that we call apheresis or leukapheresis that withdraws the white blood cells. And then the T cells are enriched and genetically engineered to produce CARs on the surface. And then the CARs are expanded in the laboratory until we obtain a sufficient number. And once expanded, the CAR T cells are then transfused back into the patient. So it really doesn't get more personalized than that. Interestingly, this technology was once thought, when I started to get into the field, many people said that it was too personalized or too boutique. And my argument has always been that, so was bone marrow transplantation in the 1950s, and decades later, we're doing over 20,000 bone marrow transplantations each year in just the United States alone. So it can be done.
I'm glad you said in the United States. I thought you meant you were doing 20,000.
No, no, no.
You're getting really good. You mean like, we're doing it. You mean
yes,
W. Yeah.
Yeah. The royal we.
Yeah. So can you give me some examples of places? This is very new technology. So where are some places where it has been successfully applied. And are there patients today who are alive today because they received these therapies?
Oh, absolutely. So our most successful example to date, it has been in blood cancers, particularly advanced relapse, highly refractory leukemias. So for example, in pediatric and young adult acute lymphoblastic leukemia, CAR T cells that are targeted against the CD19 protein have affected complete remission rates of over 80%. Which is quite remarkable for any form of cancer therapy. We also have subsets of adult patients with advanced leukemia who have experienced long-term durable remissions following the CAR T-cell treatment, and their remissions are ongoing past 9 years. So that's rather remarkable. And we're also treating other indications. So CD19-directed CAR T-cells are FDA-approved, as you know. And another indication is diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. We're also starting to see early promising results, we and other cancer centers, in multiple myeloma, bone marrow cancer, and just many other indications as well. But so far, they've really made a splash. Well, CAR T-cells, that is, in the setting of these highly relapsed refractory leukemias.
And we always hear that, cancer is a spectrum of diseases. It's not just one disease. But when you talk about CAR T19, which is directed against the CD19 antigen, how broad is that? What can you solve with the CAR T19 cells?
Many, many cancers that arise from B cells, and the CD19 protein is interestingly, it's expressed by B cells very early on during their development. Many cancers that are sort of stem-like express this CD19 protein, and so do normal B cells, by the way. So one of the side effects of the therapy that I also hope to speak with you about is B-cell aplasia. So when we treat patients with these CD19-directed CAR T-cells, we also, in addition to the tumor, wipe out the patient's normal B-cells, but that can be managed clinically. So CD19 is very B-cell restricted, I would say, and it's a very good antigen to target for a number of these malignancies of B cells, for a number of these blood cancers.
Well, you mentioned the B cell aplasia, but what are some of the other factors that maybe limit the efficacy of the therapies? So I know you talk about, the expansion of the CAR T cells, the persistence inside the body, how long they last to do their job. What are some of the other barriers to successful treatments?
Yes. Well, as you said, cancer is a very heterogeneous disease, and we one major barrier to the success and, really generalizing this technology is that we don't have great antigens like CD19 for all cancers and tumors in this kind of Darwinian process. They've evolved to downregulate a lot of these antigens, and they're also heterogeneous in terms of antigen expression. And this is where I think combinations of therapies, particularly CAR T cells with different specificities, administering them in combinations, might be the solution to that problem. In some of the patients, particularly the pediatric and young adult patients, with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, once they're treated with these CD19-directed CAR T-cells, what sort of happens is the tumor evolves is what we call antigen escape, where the CD19 protein or the portion of that protein recognized by the CAR is sort of lost. And then you get the emergence of a resistant tumor. So again, in this setting, I think we really need to move towards combination therapies. So that's another major barrier. And I would also say some of the toxicities, that we've seen, like any other cancer therapy, cytokine release syndrome is sort of a signature toxicity associated with CAR T cell therapy. And we saw it early on In patients where the CAR T cells expanded robustly in vivo, and it's just that the T cells are pouring out cytokines, these soluble chemical messengers that activate other cells to dump out more pro-inflammatory factors. So, from what I've heard from our clinical teams, you know, that can be quite frightening and quite difficult to manage clinically. But thanks to the pioneering efforts of many folks here and at other cancer centers, we now have sort of a standard treatment algorithm, and we can manage that toxicity very well. But nevertheless, it's still a, you know, still a risk, still a side effect. Many of the patients, though, actually look at it in a positive way, because if they're getting cytokine release syndrome, it means that the CAR T cells are expanding, and that means that perhaps they have a better chance of working and doing battle against that tumor.
Yeah, you see, I always thought that the cytokine storm was more related to other, so if you'd use the generic cell type or a donor T cell, but it still happens even with autologous donation?
Yes, absolutely, with autologous T cells, yes.
Yeah, so that's a misunderstanding on my part. Wow, that's good that we talked about that. So we're speaking with Dr. Joe Frietta. He's an assistant professor in the microbiology department at the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. And we're talking about CAR T cell therapies and how they're being applied to specific cancers. It's revolutionary technology. I really want you to understand. This is the Talking Biotech Podcast. We'll be back in just a minute. Hi, everybody. This is Kevin with an important message from the Talking Biotech Podcast. Now, the university continues to receive harassment and FOIA requests regarding what I do and why I do it and who I communicate with to do it. Recently, it's been brought up again that the Talking Biotech Podcast is somehow connected to the University of Florida. Now, why they make those allegations, I don't know. Apparently, they feel that there's some funding that's coming to the university that must be funding this high-quality production and paying significant dividends to the host to apparently spread misinformation about science. The funny part is, I did suggest to the university that they make this an officially sanctioned podcast that would go hand-in-hand with other university outreach. But the deans declined. They said that they didn't need this podcast as part of their portfolio, which is fun. So I continue to do this at home. I do it on my own time and do the interviews on my own equipment, my own computer. This is 100% me. It's something I enjoy in my spare time. Like some guys build remote control airplanes, some guys collect Star Wars figurines, some guys, you know, work on cars, whatever. This is what I like to do in my spare time. That it's so important to me to communicate science that it doesn't stop when I leave the lab. I really want you to understand what this technology is and isn't, and feel more comfortable when you try to communicate this with others. It's extremely important for us to do that effectively, because if we're going to see technology go from innovation to application, it's going to require good communication. Thank you for listening, and thank you for continuing to share this podcast with others. And now we're back on the Talking Biotech Podcast. We're speaking about CAR T cell therapies, and it's a revolutionary, rather new technique in a way of addressing specific cancers. And we're speaking with Dr. Joe Frietta, who's a professor at Perelman Music School at the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. And we're speaking about this topic today. And you mentioned the CAR T cell therapies as blood cancers. And you can imagine that this would work really well because they would be soluble. They would be in the bloodstream with B cells or in places where B cells may congregate and therefore have access to the malignant cells. Are there other opportunities to use this technology against solid tumors?
Absolutely. That is the million-dollar question, by the way, Kevin. You know, will this work against solid tumors, which are much more common than blood cancers, actually? I'm a believer, and I do think in the years to come, in the not-too-distant future, we will get, you know, the same degree of clinical efficacy against solid tumors as we're seeing with the blood cancers. But there are barriers that are operative in solid tumors that are very unique. So as you said, you know, the amount of antigen that the CAR T cells could see and bind to, which potentiates the expansion of these cells, which is very directly correlated with the response. And so you can imagine that in solid tumors, antigen access could be a problem. And also many solid tumors are profoundly, profoundly immunosuppressive. And we've done some early trials in glioblastoma, and although our CAR T cells directed against these glioblastomas did get into the tumor, and there was some antigen loss, it seems that functionally they were just shut down. And this is attributed, of course, to this immunosuppressive tumor microenvironment that I alluded to. So a solid tumor microenvironment is much like a sewer, and you're expecting, you know, these cells that you've manufactured to get to the site. Once you get enough of the cells there and they're there in sufficient numbers, they have to mediate their effector functions in this profoundly immunosuppressive microenvironment. So those challenges are very unique to CAR T cell therapy of solid tumors. So we, you know, we have to deal with trafficking, access, and immunosuppression, just as a few barriers.
Yeah, it seems like quite a formidable set of barriers. Yes. I mean, getting it in the same place where it can actually do the job, especially in things like glioblastoma. You mentioned, you know, that getting into compartments where these things may hide could be really challenging, it would seem. Is there any way of coupling this with other technologies? And I know you've recently written a review about gene editing and using CRISPR-Cas9 along with CAR T cell therapies. And how are those two technologies working together?
Yeah, well, CRISPR technology is, you know, it's just such a powerful tool for editing genomes. And it's just driving forward this technology, this adoptive T cell therapy in so many ways. So very basically, and I'm sure you've discussed CRISPR on other podcasts, but it allows us to easily alter DNA sequences and modify gene function. And it has so many applications, you know, the list is endless. But of course, CAR T cells is the application that I'm working on. So performing this genome editing in CAR T cells that we adoptively transfer into hosts could make them resistant to some of these immunosuppressive barriers in the tumor microenvironment that we were discussing previously. And the great thing about this technology is it seems to be multiplexible. You know, you can multiplex it and edit several different genes. You know, it's not just one thing that I would say drives immunosuppression, right? Or shuts down the T cells in this microenvironment. It's a multifactorial kind of thing. So the ability to multiplex in the setting of CRISPR has just really helped us to improve the potency of these cells, particularly for treating some of the solid tumor indications.
Well, another application I heard about, and you can, you know, correct me if I'm wrong and maybe steer me here a bit, was that for use, especially in children, that they were, that had acute lymphoblastic leukemia, they were actually using gene editing to remove the surface antigens that recognize the cells as self, because this way you could have a generic donor, like I could donate, they take my cells. And is that something that may make this even more likely to be portable and maybe, you know, some sort of generic cell line that is targeting this particular antigen or has this maybe viability in a certain microenvironment? So you wouldn't have to re-engineer a patient's own cells. Is that coming?
Oh, absolutely. It will take some time, I think, but unfortunately, I've heard from a lot of clinicians that a lot of patients, you know, unfortunately die waiting to receive their CAR T cells. So that would reduce the time, you know, from referring a patient to CAR T cell therapy to treatment. And also we could have, as you mentioned, Kevin, a very potent universal allogeneic T cell product. And that would overcome a lot of the defects that we see. They could be patient-specific, disease-specific defects in the autologous T cell setting, right? Because not all patients' T cells, of course, work. And patients have been on, different chemotherapies that are perhaps the first line for that particular disease that really just beats the T cells up. And so what we collect is the seed population for CAR T cell therapy is, defective to begin with. So I think in that setting, engineering an allogeneic product using CRISPR could really make a big difference and increase access for a number of patients.
Yeah, so you mentioned this idea of access and that it takes time to create the cells. And so everything has a downside, right? But what are some of the other risks and how do they compare to other, other types of treatments that strive to solve problems like cancer? I mean, we know that things like chemotherapy have side effects, for instance. What are some of the other central risks that you have seen either clinically or hypothetically?
Hypothetically, well, in terms of toxicities, the target antigen selection is very critical. And many of the antigens that we target are tumor associated more than tumor specific. That is, tumors may overexpress these antigens, but a certain level is expressed on normal tissues. And so that's a very, very challenging thing to screen preclinically, that is on target, off tumor toxicity. So depending on, where your target is, you could have, organ damage from the CAR T cells reacting against normal tissue. And there are ways to sort of mitigate that a bit, to tune the affinity of the receptor, and also just, being smart about selecting antigens that are more tumor restricted. So that's one thing. Also the cost of this, it's a very costly therapy. But if you think about it, there are also, what I refer to as financial toxicities imposed by chemotherapy and effective, but other curative therapies. It's a major challenge for patients. And this is where I think the CAR T cells can make a big difference. Although it's expensive to manufacture CAR T cells, you have challenges with the complexity of administration and having to monitor the patients. It also has the potential to be curative, unlike many chemotherapies and targeted drugs. So that's where I think, we can make a big difference because, again, you can have a single infusion of CAR T cells and what we would hope is that could potentially cure a patient. And, unlike chemotherapy in a lot of settings and some of these other targeted agents. So it's very expensive up front, but, if something's curative and you can get that from a single infusion, then that can make a big difference. And I think help us to solve some of those, looming problems, those looming healthcare costs associated with cancer therapy.
That's a really interesting question and good point that you brought up. But I guess maybe I'll ask you to take out the crystal ball a little bit because is this the kind of thing that because, as it gets better and as we it gets out of a few specialized centers of CAR T cell therapies and maybe even become something that you can get at a local urgent care, a local outpatient facility, is this something that will ultimately make very directed and very specific cancer therapies more effective, more accessible, and even lower cost?
Yes, we believe so. I mean, so for example, other forms of, we could take immunotherapy like checkpoint inhibitors. If they're given as just a single agent, they cost about $150,000 per year in the U.S. And then, if you're working with combinations of checkpoint inhibitors in the setting of cancer, the cost could exceed $250,000 per patient. Whereas, a single administration of CAR T cells is about $430,000 to $475,000. But again, that single administration could mediate long-term durable remission and perhaps even cure patients. And so again, that's why we think the CAR T cells could also serve as an eventual solution to the increasing costs of medical care in cancer.
So let's look forward on the horizon. a really promising therapy. It's working well in lots of applications. But what are some things that you've seen either at meetings or conferences that really give you a little bit of hope in solving a really insidious problem?
Yes. Yeah, so I think one of the biggest things that I've seen and what will emerge in the next couple of years is that CAR T cells don't end with hematologic malignancies. And we and others are seeing early results that we're finally turning the corner, in the context of solid tumor immunotherapy. So cracking that will be big, and it will be a huge paradigm shift, in terms of treating cancer. But it doesn't end there. In terms of what I've seen just out there, people are applying this sort of therapy to infectious disease, to autoimmune disorders, even to heart disease. So our dean here at UPenn just published a paper in Nature for using CAR T cells against fibrotic tissue that you see in heart disease. So I think the applications are virtually endless with this therapy. And again, the attractive part of this is, although it's highly specialized and at this point highly patient specific in some ways, it has the potential to be curative, and that's what the immune system can do. It can, mediate long-term durable remission of cancer and hopefully many other diseases. And so that's really the power of this therapy. And I think that's what's on the horizon. And then, as we spoke about before, having these universal products, getting them to affect very potent anti-tumor responses, right? And increasing persistence of these allogeneic products. So that's what's going to be, a big challenge. I think that we're going to make a lot of great progress in that setting over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, if that long, right? These things go so fast.
Not.
Yeah, I think I really am optimistic. I think these things, we couldn't have predicted this, 15 years ago. And just to be able to understand that these things are possible, and then as we learn from them, how we'll continue to hone this to make it work even better. I always say the best of times, are ahead of us. If people do want to learn more about, your program or about CAR T cell therapies, is there a place where they could look online or somewhere where they could follow in social media?
Oh, absolutely. And I would be thrilled if they did. So more information about my own research program can be found on the University of Pennsylvania Department of Microbiology website. And that could be accessed at micro.med.upenn.edu. Also, I hope that your listeners will check out the many wonderful research endeavors going on in the Penn Medicine Center for Cellular Immunotherapies. And that is at www.med.upenn.edu/CCI. And of course, the Abramson Family Cancer Center at the University of Pennsylvania. And that could be accessed at www.pennmedicine.org/cancer.
Awesome. So that's great, because I hope people do get up to speed on this, because, I lost a friend to cancer who had a very aggressive type of cancer that really, really took her out fast. And it was the kind of thing where she was seeking every single therapy she could for probably about 5 years. They gave her 6 months and she got 5 years, but she tried everything and she didn't get this. And it's one of these things that I think that people who are going through it, who have family members who are suffering, to just have the hope that a new emerging technology may be very close is something that can really be helpful. So thank you for the resources.
Yeah. And that in our lifetimes, I think that this will be standard of care for certain cancers. So that's tremendously exciting.
Well, Dr. Joe Freyetta, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And, please come back again when you have a big breakthrough, hopefully sooner, real soon, I hope.
I would be delighted. Thank you very much, Kevin. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for listening to the Talking Biotech podcast. Thank you very much. This is a wonderful episode for you to share with others and start to really give the good ideas that these technologies can have great effects for people and the planet. This is the Talking Biotech podcast, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Biotech podcast. Send your suggestions for guests, comments, or questions to talkingbiotech@gmail.com. Please write a review of this podcast on iTunes and recommend it to a friend. More downloads help us reach a wider audience with science.